I believe you'll be glad that you're here by the time we get to the end of the service. Near the end of the lesson, we're going to talk about a great new opportunity and an avenue that we can have to go out and to reach others. Because, you know, the Lord has given us a great commission. And that's really what this lesson is all about. And that is a commission that God has given us. Look in Luke chapter 24, where in verse 44, Jesus told those disciples there that these are the words I've been talking to you about the whole time I've been on this earth. You think of the 3 years they'd been at His feet. And He said, these are the words that I spake to you while I was with you. And now this is after His death and after His resurrection. He's about ready to go back to heaven. And He says to those apostles, now look, you need to understand that I want to remind you of some things that I've talked to you about. And that is that everything that's written in the Old Testament, in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms, must be fulfilled. And He opens their minds so that they can understand the Scriptures. It's amazing that prior to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible really was a mystery. And that's why it's called a mystery. And after His death and resurrection and ascension, Paul says, God has revealed this mystery unto us. But they were not able to understand it. And so he talks about all of the things found in the Old Testament, and he opens their minds that they understand this. And he said to them, thus it is written. In other words, what I have just told you about the things written in the Psalms and the things I've been talking to you about, it is written. And here's the things that has been written, and that is two things. One, that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And somebody says, oh man, that's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Well, that's the first part of it. But look in verse 47 and look at the first word in verse 47, and that's the word and. That's a coordinate conjunction that makes things equal. And so tied with all of that found in the Scriptures is the death of Jesus and the third day rising from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness should be proclaimed to all nations. And folks, there it is right there. And it was to begin at Jerusalem, the last part of that phrase says. But look at it. God had something in mind from all creation and the culmination of it. Jesus sums it up in two phrases. One, that Christ would suffer and die and be raised the third day. And tied equally with that is the fact that the whole world is going to hear about it. And that's really why this lesson about the Great Commission is of so great importance. You know, God is a God who's often given commissions. You think about Adam and Eve in the garden. He commissioned them to do something. Wasn't anything marvelous and great, but it was that they should tend the garden. What about Noah and the commission that God gave to Noah? Well, the commission that God gave to Noah was that he was to build the ark. And he gave the instructions about how he was to build the ark. And then the same thing to Moses. Remember how Moses was there at the burning bush, and God called Moses and spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And this is a mighty commission whenever he says, now you go tell Pharaoh that God has said, let my people go, and you bring my people back to this holy mountain. What an unbelievable responsibility Noah had as a preacher of righteousness to build the ark. And what an even greater burden was the commission given to Moses. How would you have felt if you'd been at that burning bush and God had called you by name and calling you by name said, now look, here's what I want you to do. Would you have felt a personal responsibility in relationship to that? God often gave commissions to the Old Testament characters. And we could take this part of this lesson and just magnify it again and again, looking at where he called all of the prophets and told them to go and proclaim the message. Whenever he gave kings and ordinances to individuals that they might go and fight in this battle and do this thing, God has often specifically called people by name and said to them, now this is what I want you to do. Because there are those commissions that God gave, but they're not the greatest commission that God gave. But see, when Jesus came on this earth, Jesus commissioned people. You remember how he told the leper that he was to go and show himself to the priest after he'd been cleansed. You recall the story about when it was time to pay taxes. And he told Peter, now you go fishing. And those of you who love to fish, you know, wouldn't this be a great way to go to pay your taxes? Just go fishing, and when you catch the fish, just open up the mouth of that fish, and there's your tax money that'll be there. You know, somebody said, I wish he really was the same yesterday, today, and forever, at least in respect to that. But Jesus gave commission, and about the matter of the upper room. The room was prepared. We have no idea when and how that individual prepared that meal in that upper room for the Last Supper, but it was ready. And Jesus told the apostles what they were to do in order to go and to make sure that all of those things were ready. And then there was that time in Luke chapter 10 when he sent out 70 men, and he sent them out with a message that they were to deliver. It was a proclamation about the fact that the kingdom of God was about to come. And parallel to that is in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent out the 12 apostles, and he sent them on a limited commission. Now, think about that word limited commission whenever today's lesson is about the greatest commission there is. There was a limited commission, and the message was great. It was a message to go and tell them about the kingdom of God being at hand. There were miracles that they were to perform as evidence of the fact that they were messengers from God. And they went out, but he said, now look, do not go and preach to any Samaritans. The Samaritans lived in that county, to use modern terminology, that county just north of Jerusalem. And so he says, now don't go to the Samaritans. And then he says, don't go to any Gentiles. And so there are all of the Gentile nations that were there, those down in Egypt and those who were over in Decapolis, over on the east side of the Jordan River in that Roman province that was over there, those in Samaria, and those in Syria, and those in Assyria, and those in Greece, and those in Rome. Do not go and tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. It was not yet time for that to be done. And yet, there was that final commission that Jesus gave that was the greatest commission that Jesus ever, ever gave. Now, think about it, and let's talk about some of the reasons why it was that greatest commission. The greatest commission that Jesus ever gave was not to Moses when he said to the Israelites, you go and lead my people out of the land of Egypt. That was a massive, massive work that he had to do. But there was something greater that could be done than that. And when he sent out the 70 or sent out the 12 and he said, you go and tell everybody about the kingdom that it is at hand. But there was a commission that was greater than that. And I want to spend just the next few minutes talking about why that commission was the greatest. It was the greatest because it contained the greatest message, and that is the gospel of Jesus. The very fact that Jesus had come. This commission was given after Jesus died and as he was about ready to ascend into heaven. In fact, we've already looked at the passages in Luke that says after this he goes out to Bethany and ascends into heaven. Some of the very last words that Jesus gave. And that commission is found in three different places. And we'll spend some time in the next few minutes looking at how this commission that was given, as we look at these verses, will help us understand the greatness of this commission. Look in Matthew chapter 28. Look in verse 20. Whenever he says, as you go on this commission, you teach them to observe everything that I've ever commanded you. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been with Jesus during those 3.5 years, whenever every day they were walking around with him and they were hearing Jesus tell all of these great truths? And now Jesus says, now then, go make disciples of all nations and you teach them to do whatever I have commanded you. In the account in Mark, look in Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, whenever he said to the apostles, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. There is some good news. That's the meaning of the word gospel. And you go into all the world with the greatest message there is, and that is the good news. And then, in Luke chapter 24, this time in verse 47, here is that message. It is a message that talks about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. What a great, great message that they had to deliver. In the second place, this was the greatest commission because it involved everybody that lived on this earth, or everybody who would ever live on this earth after Jesus gave the Great Commission. Remember how Moses' message was to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian? And then it was a message that he gave to the Jews, but they were just a limited number of individuals of all the nations on this earth. When he sent out the 12, he sent them out and he said, now don't go to the Gentiles, but the Lord now gives the greatest commission because it involves every person that lived on the earth when Jesus lived on this earth, and every person that would ever live on this earth. Look again at those verses whenever he says in Matthew 28 verse 19, you make disciples of all nations. In Mark chapter 16 verse 15 he says, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And in Luke chapter 24 that he says that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Think of the greatness of this message. Noah, you preach. Moses, you go speak to Pharaoh. 70 and 12 go out in a limited capacity. But now he meets with these disciples and he says, here is the message that you need to take to every person there is on this earth. What a great, great commission that was. In the third place, it was the greatest commission because of the greatest results that would come from that. Think about that great commission whenever, as you look at the matter of salvation being a part of that great commission, look in verse 16 of Mark chapter 16, whenever he talks about those who will be saved. It's a message of salvation. Oh, there's condemnation if folks refuse to believe the gospel story and respond to it. But it is a message of salvation. And it is a message, Luke chapter 24, a message of the forgiveness of sins. Think about the message that Moses had to proclaim. The message that Moses had to proclaim was a message, let my people go. The message that Jonah had to proclaim when he went to Nineveh was not of salvation, but of condemnation, that says in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. But here is a message that is the message of salvation. Think of the greatness of men being able to live with God forever and ever and ever. And the commission is a commission to go to every creature and to give them this story of salvation. No wonder this is the greatest commission that's ever been given. And then in the fourth place, it is the greatest commission because it is a plan that goes from one generation to another and to another and to another until the Lord Himself shall return. Look in Matthew chapter 28 when He says, you go and teach all nations. You go to these individuals and here is the way you make disciples of them. You baptize them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you teach them to observe everything that I've taught you to do. Now look at it as we try to visually present what this was. Here were these apostles. And the Lord says, now you go and you make disciples. And to make disciples, you teach them, you baptize them, and in the teaching, you teach them to do what I told you to do. Well, Lord, what did you tell us to do? You told us to go teach all nations and then to teach the next generation. And so here's this second or third generation of Christians. Here's the Lord. There's the apostles. Here are those first individuals that were taught. What were they to do? They were to go and teach another generation. And what were they to do? Baptize them and to do everything that they had been taught. And so there's another generation, and that generation is to teach the next generation, who is to teach the next generation, who is to teach the next generation. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to tell you how far that reaches, do I? You think about that, it reaches from the time that Jesus made that proclamation until the Lord Himself shall return. Now folks, think about what we've seen in this lesson. When Jesus, Luke chapter 24, met with the disciples, He says, here are the things that are written. All of the things that are written in the Psalms and in the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets concerning me, they must be fulfilled. And thus it is written, two things, that Christ is going to come and suffer and die and be raised and be raised on the third day, and that the world will hear of that. The plan that God had from the very beginning was not to let angels come to every borough or to every house or to every township. It was that He would send beings, human beings, and taught the message of the gospel to take that message and deliver that message to others. Do you understand how that has an impact to what we're trying to do here at Palm Beach Lakes? Think of the opportunity that we provide here at this place to help us go out and to teach others and to let others know about the Lord. We ought never to take a gospel meeting or some of these Super Sundays when we bring in special speakers. We ought never to take them as just, well, I think we're going to have something rather special now and it's for us. Oh no! While there is that joy we'll have because we are here, the whole design of every aspect of those gospel meetings and Super Sundays is to cause us to have an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission. It's a part of God's eternal plan. And then there are weekly worships that we have when we come together. And there are those Bible classes that we have. There are those studies that we have in homes. And there are those times that we have our Sunday morning classes and our Wednesday night classes. There are those times whenever we come together every week. What a golden opportunity that is for every one of us to say to those that are around us, you know, you're my friend. I want to share something with you. Can you come and see what's happening? Can you come and understand the joy that I have? Remember in that lesson last week, the shepherd who'd found the lost sheep had left the 99 and found the lost sheep, and the woman who'd lost the coin and found the one coin, she calls all of her friends together. He comes back with the sheep and he said, look, rejoice with me. Look what I found. And every one of us, as a part of the body of Jesus in this place, ought to understand what a great, great opportunity we have. And then there are those avenues that we have of the Heart to Heart magazine and the tracts and the Bible correspondence courses and the DVDs and the CDs that are readily available. Have you not just sat and heard a sermon and think, man, I wish that my friend at work could have heard that. I really wish that I my friend had been here at Bible class. Or, you know, what a great, great lesson that was. And how blessed we are at this place to have the capability of making DVDs, videos of the things that happen inside this auditorium, or CDs. so that we can just share these things with others, or all of those tracts that are there. Being knowledgeable of the fact. Somebody at work asks you a Bible question, you think, you know, I think we've got a tract down at the church. Let me pick that up. Let me share that with you. And then there are those visitors that come our way, and we're thankful that they come. But what a great, great opportunity. You know, who would have ever thought when that first Sunday that Gorman walked in, that Gorman would ever be a part of this congregation? But are you aware that someone of you put some labels on that Heart to Heart magazine? Are you aware that you, whoever it was that put those labels on that, you're responsible for Gorman? You get the blame or the credit for him. Yeah. But you see, all that is just an opportunity to reach out and to impact. And then when Gorman walks in, and all of a sudden there is that friendliness that is there. And Gorman, we pick on you because, well, you know I wouldn't do this. I didn't mean every word of it. And you understand. What a great, great opportunity. Just whenever somebody brings a visitor with them. For us to say to that individual, I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you'll come back again and again. And the opportunities that we have in that opportunity sheet in the cornerstone meetings on Sunday night to write letters and write cards. You know, and how we wish that there were those who would step to the forefront, who, like those in time past, who wrote, almost of our shut-ins, who just said, I'll write a card to everybody that comes if you'll give me the card and the postage and give me the names and the addresses. I'll be willing to write cards to every one of those. I was thinking about that this week, and I thought of Joe Miller, who was a part of this church, Thelma's husband. You know, Thelma was here for the longest. And was it Ruby Hazelwood or was it Viola at that time that was writing all of those cards? And for 2 years before he ever walked into this building at all, he got that card from Ruby, I think it was from Ruby, and put it in his lunchbox and carried it to work. And in his lunch hour, he'd sit down. You know why Joe Miller became a part of this church? Well, there are all kinds of reasons, but there's just somebody paying attention to somebody who came our way. That's a part of this great, great commission. Now, we need to understand that not everybody has the ability to go to somebody's house and sit down and study with them. But are you aware of the fact that there are those in this church, if you'd say, I've got a friend at work, and I'm going to ask them, would he like a Bible study? And I'm going to reach out and set up a study. I'll find somebody to come and to conduct that study. I'll be glad to try to set that up. What a great, great opportunity that we have in the Great Commission. And so don't think, well, I'm not a personal worker because I cannot do this. And here's some of our shut-ins who have just sat in their homes and been a part of the Great Commission. Here's somebody that's putting labels on some heart-to-heart magazines that leads to the salvation of others. Not everybody can teach, but everybody can do something. And there's not a one of us that cannot say these three words, come and see, to every person that we meet. Because that's a part of that Great Commission. Now then, as we think about that, let's take just a moment and talk about a new opportunity of an announcement of a way that we can reach out further again. Let's look and these slides that are here and think about the words that come from them.
Well, I'm going to present this from back here. You don't have to look over here if you don't want to, but eventually we're going to have something on the screen, but I need to control it from back here. You remember back on a perfect day, 10-10-10? It was a perfect day, right, with Sam Jones? There was a hacker out there who apparently thought that was the perfect day to hack our website. And we have been down since 10-10-10. Until 12-12-10 today, when our new site gets launched. And we were already working on a new site, but we had to get Nathaniel Nelson, who had designed it and developed it, to step on the gas and get the site finished for us a little quicker than we had anticipated. But we are thankful to have Nathaniel Nelson here. He's a very talented web designer who has created a very appealing and exciting website that, as we have been talking about this morning, is an opportunity as a tool of evangelism to use to teach others. And it looks a bit different than our old one did, but I think that you're going to like the look of our new website that has been designed very, very bright, very welcome. It's very clear and easy to read. It's a site that is easily navigated. You can find anything and everything that you want on this site basically from this page. You are one click away on this page from everything on this site. And it's a great tool of evangelism. Let me walk you through it just briefly and look at some of the things that are on the menu up here. On the About Us menu, there's also a calendar, and I'm going to go through these menus in just a minute. We have our sermons, our Bible classes, a youth tab, articles, a bulletin tab, a Bible study tab, and a Contact Us tab. But below that, on the home page, there is a search engine over here where you can search for various articles or sermon media or calendar events just by typing in what you want there. Our upcoming events are automatically displayed here, and if you want to know what's coming up or if you want to see the full calendar, sometimes this whole box will be replaced by a gospel meeting advertisement. Our service times appear over here on the left-hand side for those visitors to the site to know when we meet. There are some quick links here to get to some, like our Watch Our Services Live. There's some people who have already seen this site before you have this morning. It went live at about 8:30, and they clicked here, and they're watching our services right now, about 30 seconds behind us, but they're watching our services right now. And then on the homepage, God's plan of salvation listed here for everyone to see who visits our site. If you want more information, if you want a more detailed, you just click on God's plan of salvation, and it will take you to a further listing of the plan that God has listed in the Bible. So that's part of the homepage, as well as right here on the center, what's new to the site. If you come every week, or probably most of you don't come every day, but if you want to know what's added that week, this is going to list the most recent, the newest additions of new material to the site. We'll always have a verse for the week down here for study and meditation. And then on the homepage, and this isn't going to appear quite as large as it won't fill up this box, but right on this homepage, we have taken our 22-minute DVD, announced the 22-minute DVD that we have out in the lobby that introduces the church. This has been reduced to about 2.5 minutes, and let me see if you can watch this.
Who built the ark?
Noah!
How many doors in the ark?
One!
How many windows in the ark?
One!
What's the best book in the world?
Come and worship with us.
Thank you for being interested in spiritual matters and taking time to look at this video about the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ.
Class. We're glad you came to class.
We have classes for the smallest of children.
You get the idea? It's only about 2.5 minutes, but it introduces the church here, and it's right there on the home page, and we'll replace that video with others every so often, but video that introduces the Lord's church right there on the home page. Let me show you just briefly what's on the site and things that you can send to people to teach them the gospel. On the About Us menu is what to expect when you visit this congregation. It's the same material that's in the brochure out in the lobby, that this is a Bible-centered, mission-minded, family-oriented church. That same video that's on the front page is here about our worship and our Bible classes. All of that is listed on the What to Expect page on the About Us menu. There's also Our Plea, which is restoring first century Christianity in the 21st century. This is the same material that's in that brochure out in the lobby called Restoring First Century Christianity, restoring the unity of the church, restoring the church, restoring its worship, and God's plan of salvation that's listed there. Also on the About Us menu are our elders, information about them, our evangelists. We have listed our missionaries. And look down this side as you see photos, information, contact information for all of our missionaries, wherever they are in the world, including those in Africa, and Apologetics Press, as well as the three benevolent works that we support. Links there for all of those so that you can contact them or other folks can learn about them. And then here's that God's plan of salvation. You can click on it right down at the bottom of the homepage, or here it is on the menu as well. Let me back out of this so you can see this again. There is a calendar that's embedded into our website that lists all of our activities, and it's color-coded. By the way, have you seen these pictures going up here? That's those will be changed out every so often, getting new photos. So if your photo shows up there, then you can send a link to somebody and say, hey, check me out. I'm Dirk Summerlott, and I'm on the Palm Beach Lakes website. Or you can only do that if you're Dirk Summerlott. But if your picture shows up there, you can say, hey, I'm on the web. But here's all of the activities of the church. They're color-coded to various categories, and here's the categories down here. If you want to find particular events by categories, you can do that, or you can always search for them on the homepage as well. Under the Sermons tab, let me zoom in so you can see that. We have the, if you want to search for sermons by Dan, David, Casey, all of the Soldiers of Christ lessons are there together. If you want to hear reports from our missionaries, we have our past 5 years and past 5 years of lectureships and gospel meetings. Obviously, we're going to be adding to this. When our site got hacked, we lost all of the back material that was on there. So we're rebuilding this site. It will eventually have everything that we had on the old site, plus a lot of new good stuff. But we, Cindy, I'm going to brag on her a lot. Cindy has done tremendous work on the website. Nate and Cindy make a good team in a lot of ways, but especially in web design. She's learned quite a bit in the last 2 months. She has done a lot of work in building all of the content back onto our website. But if you go into the sermons, for instance, here's the sermon that Dan was talking about, sermon he preached last week, but they're all listed here, all of his sermons. You scroll down, you can find whatever sermon you want. But over here on the right, it will say listen or read. And eventually, it will say watch. We will eventually have video of our sermons on the website. But if you want to listen to the sermon, you just click on it. It'll open up a box, and if you weren't here last Sunday, you can start listening to...
To talk about that which has been called the greatest short story...
He's just as loud on the website as he is in person. If you want to find the PowerPoint, for the PowerPoint, and this is the same way for all of the sermons... And all of the Bible classes, you can go in and listen and read, or you can download the PowerPoint. You click there and you have the option to take the PowerPoint and look at it. And all of that is there. Same thing with our lectureships. All of the manuscripts are there. And so as you go through our lectureships, here's this year's lectureship. And if you want to send either the audio of a lesson to someone, say, hey, you need to listen to this, or you can send the link and they can open up. This year, obviously, we had the outlines, but all of the other years, the full manuscripts. If you want to send those to somebody to read, you can do that. Our Bible classes have been divided into these categories. You have the textual studies, topical studies, and then just miscellaneous studies. But they're all in there. All of the classes we've had in the last 2 or 3 years are already here, and we will continue to backlog all of those and update those. And they appear the same way that the sermons do. The youth tab. One day maybe Casey will want his own youth website that he can build and he can put together, hopefully, with some help. But these list all of the Yo magazines, the youth outreach newsletters that they have put out. And you can click on those and just read whatever Casey has put out and what the youth are up to. You can go to that youth tab and read all of those there. On the articles tab, all of the bulletin articles for the last several years, and we'll continue to backlog those. Thought for the Days are there, as well as a new category that we call Questions and Answers. These are submitted questions and answers. Right now, there's only 4 on here of questions that have been submitted and have been answered. And the way that those questions become submitted is over on the Bible Study tab. The Bible Study tab is a Bible reading schedule that will show you people how they can read through the Bible in a year, a place for people to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. We had this on our old site where they could just fill in the fields, click submit, and we started them on a Bible correspondence course by mail. This was one of the most popular points of our of our old site, we enrolled hundreds of people. Ask Joyce Parker. We enrolled hundreds of people in the Bible Correspondence Course just because they signed up on the website. So that's here as well. There are some links here, which we will add to some of these links, but some helpful materials on the web for other Bible study materials. But here's the questions and answers where we explain about asking Bible questions, and our goal in this is that each week we will try to address at least one question that has been submitted, and they will be posted here on the website. So they fill in their name and email address. That's optional. They ask their question. We won't be able to answer every question that's submitted immediately, obviously, but that's going to be the source by which we add to this question and answer site. So again, the site will continue to grow and to develop and hopefully be interactive from the standpoint that we can answer the Bible questions that some people might submit. And then obviously the Contact Us page has contact information about the church here. But what an incredible site that has been built for us, and what an incredible tool it is to be able to teach people the gospel. And it is a live, active site. It is continually being updated on a daily basis. There will be new content being added to this, so visit it frequently and encourage your friends to visit it frequently and use it as a great tool of Bible study.
I want to ask you, if I wanted to send a link of a sermon, how would I do that? You said I could send a link to it. Could you show how to do that? Is that possible? What a blessing. What a blessing. I thank God that He's blessed this congregation to have people in it who have the capabilities and the dedication to make this become a reality. Go back to that greatest link there about the greatest message and the greatest scope and the greatest result and the greatest plan. And let's add one other thing to that. The greatest message is the gospel. The greatest scope is every person and every nation. The greatest results is salvation. The greatest plan is from generation to generation. And the greatest responsibility is us. It's us. Two scenarios. Standing at the judgment bar of God with somebody standing beside us that says, I thank you for opening the doors of heaven for me. It doesn't mean that you necessarily were that person that went to their home and sat down with them in a personal Bible study, but you were that initial contact or that follow-up contact to someone else. Thank you for opening the doors of heaven. And the other scenario is that same person standing there saying, you never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me. I say that not as a matter of trying to put guilt on any of us, but to sober every one of us up to the fact that a part of God's plan in the 21st century is for churches like Palm Beach Lakes to exist. To tell the people of Palm Beach County and via the internet around the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we have 1,000 of these cards. I hope we'll need another 1,000 very, very soon. But 1,000 of these cards that says, visit our new and improved website. And we have another name for that address. The PBLCOC is an .org is an address hardly anybody could remember. But any of these addresses are valid addresses that you can give to somebody else. Church on 95, Church on I-95, Church of Christ on 95, Church of Christ on I-95. All of these will allow individuals to get to this website. But would you take these cards today? Take them to work with you. And give them to your friends at work. Keep them with you. Keep them in your purse or keep them in your wallet. And whenever you get an opportunity to say, I want to tell you of something that you really need to look at. And I want to personally express to those of you who have specifically mentioned specific sermons that I've preached on the website, and to say you need to go and to listen to this sermon, not because of the honor that it brings to me, but because of the avenue that is open for people to learn about the church. Satan is seeking to own the internet. And godly people need to use every avenue that we can to tell others about it. What a great opportunity to be involved in the greatest message, the greatest scope, with the greatest result of the greatest plan, because we fulfilled our greatest responsibility. And now let's sing that song of invitation. It may be that you have been taught by those who know the truth, and that you're ready to make a commitment of your life to Jesus. You need to believe in Him. That's what Mark 16, verse 16 says. You need to make up your mind to follow Him. That decision is called repentance. And God now commands every man, all men everywhere, to repent. Acts 17:30. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 makes it possible for you to be baptized in order that you might be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says its purpose is for the forgiveness of sins. And when you do this, He adds you to the church, and He says to you as a newborn Christian, or as to a person who did this years ago, you've been a Christian for 50 years, don't you dare let up. You be faithful until the day you die. And Jesus, who cannot lie, says, I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you?